The Wallabies are searching for a new coach after their humiliating 40-16 loss to England in the quarterfinals of Japan's Rugby World Cup. Michael Checker has now stepped down. He's not bowing out quietly, though, saying he had no relationship with Rugby Australia's chief executive or their chairman. He's also urging the game's administrators to pick homegrown talent to replace him.
I was telling the guys before that it's not up to me, so I've got no say in it, but I think we should be backing and supporting Australian coaches.
That's outgoing Wallabies coach Michael Checker there. Raylan Castle is the chief executive of Rugby Australia. Welcome to breakfast.
Morning, Hamish.
Were you aware that you had no relationship with Michael Checker?
Certainly, Michael and I worked together well for when I started my job at Rugby Australia, but as we made some changes to the program at the beginning of last year, or the end of last year rather, at the to go into this year and brought in Scott Johnson to oversee football and make sure that we built a structure that enabled us not only in the short term to see some improvements, but certainly build a base that enabled us to have sustained success over a longer period of time. That was not necessarily an appointment that Michael was comfortable with.
But were you on speaking terms in the lead up to the World Cup?
Yes, we were.
So when was the last time that you spoke to him?
Hamish, I think, at the end of the day, Michael's decided not to be to seek reappointment. For us, the focus is about making sure that we work through a process to appoint the best coach that we can find for the new Wallabies environment.
Sure, but that didn't answer the question. When was the last time that you spoke to Michael Checker?
I spoke to him. And during the Rugby World Cup and in the lead up to the Rugby World Cup, the main role for me in this tournament was not my engagement with Michael. That was Scott Johnson. Scott was appointed into that role, and Michael and Scott continue to have a very successful working relationship as they worked as hard as they could to try and find a Wallabies team that was successful at this tournament.
Is it fair to say, I mean, just trying to interpret what you're telling us, is it fair to say that the relationship broke down over some of those appointments?
Yeah, that's right. And Michael's on record saying that himself. So that's his words. That's his words.
And so is that a matter of regret for you? Because I would have assumed that a functional relationship between the chief executive and the coach would be fairly important.
We had to make some changes at the end of last year. We had a 50% win record. That was not acceptable from the board's point of view. We needed to make some changes to see that we saw improvement in Wallaby performance. At the end of the day, that decision was made to support Michael into the Rugby World Cup, to give him all the support that he could have to enable the Wallabies to put their best foot forward at the Rugby World Cup. But we also made a decision around that appointment of Scott Johnson to make sure we were thinking about not only the short term, but the longer term implications. And that appointment was hugely important with the other structural changes that we've put in place to make sure that we've got a system that allows, and I heard you talking in the preamble there, that we secure our young talent and make sure that this year we've already seen our 18s beat New Zealand, we've seen our 20s get beaten by 1 point in the Rugby World Cup final, make sure that we secure that young talent and build a platform through Super Rugby into the Wallabies that allow us to be more successful.
But I suppose this is a question about the handling of it, right? Because you're saying this was a decision that was made for the longer term, but did it in fact undermine Michael Checker in the lead up to the World Cup? I suppose that's the question we're now asking. Do you think it's possible that you did do that?
We had to make a change. At the end of the day, our win rate was less than 50%. We had to make some decisions. We had looked to see whether there was what the options were, the best coaching talent available. We decided that supporting Michael after 4 years build up was the right thing to do. That's what the board did. But we also needed to think about the support that we put in place. We put a selection panel in place. We put Scott Johnson is director of rugby, and Scott and Michael continue to work well together as we lead up to the World Cup.
This is what Wallabies captain Michael Hooper had to say regarding Checker's departure.
Check's been amazing for me. I owe that man a lot, and just genuinely wanted the best for Australian rugby, not just the team, not just for him selfishly, being the coach of the team, but wanting the best for Australian rugby.
There's been quite a few Wallabies players decline to blame Michael Checker for the results in Japan. David Pocock and other leading players have given strong displays of support for the coach. Who or what do you blame for the result in Japan?
Well, that's the point of the review, and that's what we'll be conducting over the next coming weeks, and that will give us some answers as to why we didn't progress past the quarterfinals.
So you haven't formed any views yourself, given your proximity to the situation?
Well, clearly we had a game plan during that game where that was not successful against the English, and the finer details as to how we got to that point will be determined in the review.
Obviously, there are those that are now asking whether the situation with Michael Checker is a sign of a broader cultural problem at Rugby Australia. You've been in the headlines a lot this year for things like the Israel Folau story, presumably things that you don't want to be in the headlines about. Does Rugby Australia have a broader problem in your view?
No, Hamish, it doesn't. At the end of the day, that was the Israel Folau situation was one individual that chose, from our perspective, to breach his employment contract and breach the social media policy of Rugby Australia. That was one decision. He made that. Rugby Australia were very strong in that stance, that his public views were unacceptable, and that actually stood up for a culture which is about inclusiveness and making sure that everybody that plays rugby, whether it's works at Rugby Australia, whether it's playing the game or whether it's being a fan, is welcome inside Rugby Australia. That's a really positive thing from a cultural perspective.
I suppose it's a question, though, whether all of that distracted from the task at hand, which was obviously the lead up to the Rugby World Cup. Do you think it did?
Oh, I certainly don't think it's helpful. I don't think when you've got a player that chooses to put their views in front of the views of the team, and we end up with headlines and people writing things about Rugby Australia as opposed to writing about the rugby. That's never helpful. Of course it's not.
You mentioned the fact that you are having a review. Do you accept that there are obviously calls for an independent review? Why don't you have an independent review rather than something internal?
We are currently working through exactly what the structure of the review will take. Scott Johnson, as Director of Football, will be leading that review, but the actual final makeup of that review process has not been finalised. I'm working through with that, working through with Scott about that at the moment.
So are you open to it being independent? I mean, you've sort of pointed to the appointment of Scott Johnson as being, a factor in something that led to the breakdown of this relationship. You're saying you're open-minded about what the factors are that led to this situation that the Wallabies are now in, but you've got him leading that process. Isn't that a problem?
Hamish, I think the thing to remember is that 10 months ago now, we were in a very difficult situation and the Wallabies had not performed well. Rugby Australia undertook a review and recognised that the structure that we had in place around the aligned high performance program did not have one in place, and that was something that we needed to work towards. So if you think about the teams that have been successful on the world stage over the last few years, Wales, Ireland, the All Blacks, they have an aligned high performance program. What we did was put in place Scott Johnson to lead that, subsequently building into the last 2 years, but certainly in the last 10 months since Scott's been there, we've put in place agreements with our Super Rugby teams to make sure that we've got an integrated and aligned program that works to retain our talent, to make sure that we're working to a coaching style and a structure.
Sure, but he's been integral to the process over the last Hamish, period, and he's the person leading the review. So the question is about an independent review. Why
could,
have he
could I just finish? It? Could I just finish, Hamish? Because actually, the point is that there was a review last year. What we're talking about is a campaign review to look at why the campaign that was in place was not successful. What we've done is put in place a structure that actually allows sustained success. We've had success with the 18s and the 20s this year. We've put a fighting fund in place to make sure we secure all our best talent, to make sure they don't leave to go and play in the NRL. We've signed more than 90% of that young talent. We now have our senior players out of this current squad signed. So I am trying to say to you is whilst the Wallaby team didn't perform in this Rugby World Cup, the strength of the high performance platform that we will build into the next World Cup and into upcoming Wallaby test matches is much stronger in the because of the work that we did 12 months ago to put those structures in place. That is what will give us sustained success. That was what will secure our coaches. That is what will grow Australian coaches in this environment. That is what will retain our talent, and that is what will see the Wallabies be successful. That is a platform that we have never had in the history of Australian rugby, and that is what we've done. Yes, we've had a Wallabies campaign that everyone's incredibly disappointed about, but that's the piece that we need to look at. What was it about the Wallaby performances that didn't see them be successful? But what we've done underneath that is build a platform that will allow us to be more successful in the future.
Raylene Castle, really grateful for your time this morning. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Hamish.